Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and it is a beautiful, beautiful day here in New York City, 86 degrees outside on April 16th, hard to believe. And I'm sitting here broadcasting from my bright red desk with a beautiful orchid that somebody brought me as a present standing in my window. It is purple. So the purple and the red, it's very excitingly spring. And I had this big bumblebee. Well, I was working earlier today, I had this big, huge bumblebee kind of hanging outside the window looking at the orchid. And I'm like, good thing the window's closed because I think you'd be in my house hanging out with that orchid if you could. Spring is in the air. Venus stationed to go direct last week on Saturday. So now she is full steam ahead. She's got a little journey of Pisces, and then she's going through Aries one more time. Now, remember, I posted this on Facebook, and Venus in Aries is kind of fiery. So for all of you listeners, go out and Google Beth Ditto, D-I-T-T-O, and watch her video, Fire. Just came out on Vimeo, and, you know, YouTube and all those things, and put it on my Facebook, but you definitely need to watch that, all right? That's what we got ahead of us for the next 2 months. While Venus is in Aries for the third and final time. And remember, Venus in Aries, she's now officially a morning star. She's a warrior goddess when she's a morning star. And she's going to do that till next December when she meets up with, or January, when she meets up with the Sun in Capricorn. And she's feisty when she's a morning star. She's in the mood. She's assertive. She's clear. So a lot of relationship energy, you know, Ben and Jen just decided to divorce, Venus station direct. They've been on hold for a couple of years, but now they're doing the papers. We're all going to be making very clarifying decisions about our relationships. Now, these can be good decisions, too. You may be saying, okay, I'm really ready to commit. You know, I have a client who was planning on getting married, and she's like, you know, I'm thinking of moving the wedding day from April 27th to August. I'm like, okay, go ahead. You know, that works for me. I'm supposed to officiate at their ceremony. And, you know, we're all feeling a little bit like, you know, my Venus is under stress. My Venus is under stress. Now, Venus, of course, rules love, money, how we're valued, what we want, what's important to us. You know, in a seemingly nice thing, you know, Ivanka tweeted, you know, here's to the, you know, National Library Day, here's to the librarians, yay, rah, thank you for educating us. And they all tweeted back saying, well, tell your father to stop cutting our funding. You know, he's cutting all the funding to the librarians, and we need our funding back. You know, tweets are nice, but we need the money. Understand, Venus is in a very feisty mood. Now, Venus is, of course, the feminine in all of us. Men have an anima as well as women. Everybody's got a Venus. So what we're going to be working with this Venus energy as she's in Pisces right now, she's very frustrated because she's in this big old square to Saturn. She's at 27, and he's at 27. Remember, he stationed last week, too. So the two of them both stopped at 27, which, of course, planet stopping is a big deal. And then they're both stopped squared to each other, which means they're having an argument. Saturn in Sagittarius is seeking freedom. Venus in Pisces is not in the mood to sacrifice anymore. Or saying, you can't make me suffer, or I don't want to suffer. So the whole goal here is, you know, Venus square Saturn, not a great time for plastic surgery. You're going to feel a little ugly. You're going to look in the mirror and go, like, what the hell happened to me? Because Venus Saturn is an aspect where we don't necessarily feel beloved, but we do learn to value things, okay? So what we want to do with this energy is no plastic surgery. This is not a date to go out and do it. It's a date to kind of say, you know, what is of value to me? And with Venus square Saturn, really getting clear. And if it's not of value to you, or you're not sure, you know, put it in the recycle box. But if you know it's not of value to you anymore, it's good to let it go. And this is an energy of this week and next week, because these two guys are in orb for like 4 weeks this whole month. So it gives a lot of emotional frustration, a lot of frustration about what it is you want, right? And our job is just to say, you know, sometimes it's a little more stressful, a little more frustrating than others. Then what's going to happen is Venus is going to go into Aries at the end of the month. And that's when she really does the Beth Ditto sign, okay? Beth Ditto song. And Venus in a morning star is a warrior goddess, so you're going to find the feminines feisty. You know, I've had a lot of guys coming in here going, you know, everybody's yelling at me because I'm a white guy, you know. And I'm like, yeah, it's really not a good time in the United States to be a white guy because people are picking on you, you know. You know, it's everybody's mad about something, so who are you yelling at? Now, I had an interesting conversation earlier today with one of the white guys, and we had this conversation. He's like, so what is, you know, like when you're angry, you don't actually then, you can feel justified in not changing. And I said, you know, that's a really interesting observation because, yes, that's true. Because if I'm mad at you because you didn't do what I wanted, I don't have to look at my role in it. So when I was making my notes on the planets, what's up in the week ahead, I thought, oh, that's a really interesting observation because that's something we need to pay attention to. A lot of planetary activity this week, in addition to the Venus-Saturn square, which is profound and big and a little bit of an ouch. Venus going forward after her long, drawn-out retrograde in Aries and Pisces, you know, between being furious and suffering, suffering and being furious, she's back to suffering again. But let me tell you, when she comes out of suffering at the end of the month, she's going to be mad. So she's going to be in fire. And back to Beth Ditto's song, Fire. But also, the imagery in that song really kind of picks the story up. And it's really a very retrograde song, you know, because there's a lot of filming things and then making the film back up. So what a retrograde does is it passes over this point three times. So everything that you've been working on around your value, your worth, and your relationships since January 30th is up for review and to look for you to look at it on a new level and for you to understand, you know, what it is and why you want it. And more importantly, what are you willing to do to work for it? Now, you might get angry, but you want to take that anger. You want to harness it and move it in another direction. Because you can't really, the anger gets you mad, but it doesn't necessarily get the problem solved, right? But a lot of times when we get mad or when we get frustrated, that's when we come up with another solution or we try another way to handle the problem. So that's something to think about. Of course, we have tax day this week, which is always a fun energy. And right now, today, actually Easter Sunday is pretty nice, but we're also going to have this week Pluto stationing. Now, Pluto stops in the sky, you know, once a year, and then he goes backwards. He's going to be going backwards until the last week in September. So he's gotten as far as he's going forward right now, and right now he is at 1923 degrees. So think about the planets you have at 19. Think about what was going on for you when you were age 19 and 4 months, because this is evocative of that time in your energy. And then also go, okay, the triangle power struggle thing I've been working on is going to reverse a little, going to change direction, going to change how we do it. And one of the things that was commented on last week by virtually every newscaster and every person, every time I turned around, it was Trump's changing his mind, Trump's changing his mind. And that was a really good example of Mercury stationing and going retrograde. President Trump is a Gemini. Gemini is answers to Mercury. And so now, and this is the first Mercury retrograde we've had since he's been president. So he changed his mind on Russia, on NATO, and Syria, and whoever. He started being nice to China. Now, somebody said to me, well, does that mean he's going to change back when it goes direct? Probably. But he's reviewing his thoughts, his decisions, his ideas, as are all of we, because Mercury is retrograde. Now, what happens this week, Mercury is going to come and be combust the sun on Thursday. And that usually is we dig in. We go, you know what, this is what I believe. And, of course, Venus is square Saturn, so you can tend to pick towards suffering. I don't want you to pick suffering. I want you to pick this particular situation in this particular time didn't work out. Maintain your curious. Maintain your, you know, that didn't really work the way I thought it would. But it got me clear on something. I saw something I hadn't seen before. Chiron and Venus are hanging out together. There's a lot of energy around being wounded or about the old wound kind of activating. Excuse me. So what we want to do with Chiron and Venus hanging out, because, of course, Chiron's squaring Saturn, too. He doesn't move as fast, but they're having their conversation. All of us have been wounded around love. That's just the way the world works. We've been in love with something, and we've lost it. It died. It left us. It didn't work out. And we kind of go, oh. And then we have to pick ourselves up and go, okay, but I'm still here. There's still process. There's still something to hope or try for. There's still something to believe in. And if that didn't work, then let me try this other thing. Or let me go back and double down on what I'd like and move that energy forward in some way, shape, or form. Now, with Pluto stationing simultaneously, what Pluto's going to do is he's going to say to you, reverse your strategies. Don't push it. Don't give it power. Let back up. If you've ever seen that, you know, if you've ever taken martial arts, they're always like, let the other person's energy be used against them. When you stop pulling on a rope and you let go and the person, you're playing tug of war and the person falls on their butt, watch for strategic shifts in your life this week as these energies change direction, swirl, move, and get into a big argument. It's a contentious week, but it's contentious with clarity. And our job is to go, okay, contentious with clarity. Now, within that realm, what do I want to do? Mars is in Taurus. So Mars in Taurus is very slow and steady, wins the race. Sometimes it can get stubborn and, you know, behave badly because it wants what it wants when it wants it. But you want to say to the Mars in Taurus, not going to delay your gratification forever, because the ruler of him is square Saturn, you know, Mars Saturn square, believe gratification. But we're going to ask you to work a little more on it. We're going to ask you to move forward. And then later in the week, Mars leaves Taurus and goes into Gemini on Friday the 21st, which then he has more choices. But he's also answering to a retrograde Mercury, right? And Mercury has since gone into Aries. So Mercury's going retrograde right now, and he goes into Aries on the 20th. And then Mars enters Gemini on the 21st. So all that fire that we had the last couple months starts up again, because Mercury's in Aries retrograde, and Mars is in Gemini answering to Mercury in Aries retrograde. So it's going to get very impassioned at the end of the week. But Mars in Gemini is a little indecisive, and he's ruled by a retrograde boss. So this can be, you kind of drive the car into the wall because you don't want your partner to have it. Or, you know, those ads that they say, you know, the kid comes home with, you know, a new car, and he says to his mother, he paid $10 for it, and the mother's like, it's a Trans Am. He goes, well, the lady down the street sold it to me, you know, and her husband said, you know, sell my car and send me the money. So she did, you know. I've left you. It's a very frustrated week this week, but it's frustrated with new strategic ways of appearing in front of you, okay? Because we're going to have the sun entering Taurus, answering to Venus in Pisces for a couple weeks till she goes into Aries, but frustrated. We're going to have the Pluto stationing. Whenever a planet stops, especially Pluto, because he's such a big old guy up there, when he stops, we have power struggles, we have wars, we have earthquakes, we have some kind of big doo-ha somewhere on Earth. And he's gotten as far as 17. Now he's backing down, going back, going to station at 16 in the fall, and then move forward. Sorry, he's gotten as far as 19, and he's going to back down and go to 16 in the fall. Mercury is in Taurus. Continue to expect your electronics to misbehave. I saw somebody yesterday, we went to the Easter Vigil at St. Ignatius Loyola, and their computer blew up earlier in the day. The battery, like, fell out and melted or something, and her cell phone was acting funky, and she was just like, my equipment's all breaking! And, it's like, yeah, it's a Taurus Mercury. Mercury in Taurus retrograde means your equipment breaks, or you have an opportunity to go back and redo it in a new structure or format. It's great for organizing things, too. So don't give up on the organizational piece. So that's a lot of activity. Plus, there's just the regular run-of-the-mill activities, right? So the beginning of the week, we're feeling the Pluto station start to build. We feel that 5 days before. Yesterday, on the 15th, Mercury station to go direct, or I'm sorry, Venus station to go direct. So she is really pushing us to move forward because she wants to get it going. But when she's right now blocked by Saturn, her square to Saturn, which she clears on, she clears that on Friday. And then we also have the sun going into Taurus, which, of course, is a beautiful part of summer and spring. That's always a really nice transition. And then we have the Mercury-Sun combust, where we think we're right, and we dig in. And then we have the Pluto station retrograde, and then we have Mercury entering Aries. That's all on Thursday. Mercury enters Aries, so then the next day when Mars enters Gemini on the 21st, Mars in Gemini reports to that Mercury in Aries, so we suddenly have a mad Mars again. But it's a mad Mars about Gemini, so he's not always going to tell the truth. He's going to maybe fib a little bit, because Geminis don't always tell the truth. Witness our Geminian president. Not all Geminis lie, all the Geminis write, I'm not a lying Gemini. It's like, okay, but the one we have in office lies. And then we have the Venus-Saturn square on the 21st. So we have this whole big badoop, 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 and then we have the moon is occulted by Neptune on the 22nd, which makes it a very emotional day. So a lot of energy this week around stuff. Let's do our moons. Everybody get your pens and pencils ready. Today the moon's in Cappy. It's going to be in Cappy tomorrow and Tuesday, and it goes void at 5:57 with a square to the sun. So moon in Capricorn, square the sun in Aries. This is a very traditionally impatient moon. Moon in Capricorn goes, no, you can't. No, you can't. You aren't organized. You need to structure. You need to rely. And then the sun in Aries goes, I want to go. I want to go. And they have a little struggle, right? Aries doesn't want to stand in line. Moon in Capricorn says you have to wait and you can't have your dessert. You have to wait a whole hour before you go swimming in the pool after you eat. You know, that's Moon in Capricorn. So there's a little bit of a struggle between how it should be and what we want to change. And that happens Monday, Tuesday. Then the moon goes into Aquarius, I'm sorry, bright and early on 6:52 Wednesday morning. It's in Aquarius on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It goes void at 2:23 p.m. with a sextile to Mercury. So moon in Aquarius is sextiling Mercury in Aries. And there's a fire-air idea. So there's a lot of really good information out there, but it's taking a different approach to it, taking a detached emotional approach. Be curious this week instead of mad. When something goes up, kind of say, okay, let me just try and understand that a little. And then they go, ah, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to bite. Let me just kind of think about what you're saying. Let me watch you. Let me figure out what you're trying to communicate to me. And if you do that, it helps a lot with this energy. The moon is void for an hour and 20 minutes Friday afternoon Eastern time from 2:23 in the afternoon to 3:43 p.m., upon which it enters Pisces. So it's in Pisces Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, Sunday until 5:34 p.m. when it joins Venus. So that's a nice, pleasant one, right? So the beginning of the week is a little contentious. And then we have all this travail and change and shifts and movement. And then the back end of the week is nice. But we do want to maintain that detachment in looking at it. Or we want to kind of say, what are the choices available to me? Mars in Gemini, what are my options? What can I do? So as we look at the planetary aspects that we've got this week, the sun is rolling from 26 Pisces in, oops, I'm sorry, the sun is rolling from 26 Aries into 1 Taurus. It enters Taurus on the 19th at 5:27 p.m., grounds it. The sun has an aspect with the nodes of fate on the 18th, And it also has a trine to Saturn on the 17th. So these are very good aspects for kind of connecting with people and meeting people. The sun is a little blindsided today around 5:30 in the morning and 2 in the morning. So there was some kind of thing that came to light that you went, wow, I didn't know about that. And then the sun gets really dug in on April 20th because the Mercury and the sun meet. And then the sun has a trine to the nodes of fate on the 21st. Again, watch who you meet. So this is a big week for the sun in Aries and then in Taurus to pull in new people that are part of the new journey going forward, or that are, you know, you're connecting and committing to. Mercury, of course, is retrograde. He's in Taurus. He's going back into Aries on April 20th at 1:30 in the afternoon. He's going to be in Aries then to 27 Aries. Uh-oh, 27. Isn't that the degree that Saturn's at? Yes. Oh, that means Mercury's going to trine Saturn, giving voice to the frustration. But he's in Aries, so he's a little fiery. So we're going to have kind of at the end of the week, we're going to have the opportunity for fiery confrontations, which, of course, with that Pisces moon is going to make us maybe feel a little sad or a little suffering. And so our job is to kind of go, okay, got it, I get it. You know, no, I don't want to fight with you. I don't want to fight with you. Baby, I don't want to fight with you. I want to make love to you. You know, whatever you need to do, just kind of try and redirect this energy because it's very potent and we want to give it a new way of expressing itself. Mercury meets up with the nodes of fate on the 18th, so there's important communication bright and early in the morning that day. And it has a little bit of a shock. It gets a little surprised by something it did not see coming on the 20th. So there's unexpected news, especially around men or men in your life. And then there's a little bit of sadness and a little sorrow on the 22nd as Mercury works with Neptune. And then at the end of the week, Mercury is having interesting aspects to both Venus and Ceres around creativity on the 23rd. They're not bad aspects, but you have to kind of think Mercury's going retrograde and he's in Aries where Venus is soon to be again. And so they're kind of, you know, you ever had those situations where one person tells you to do one thing and then they leave and then someone comes back and says, no, I don't want you doing that. I want you doing this. And then somebody else leaves, and then a third person goes, no, it's this. And you're kind of like, okay, I got three separate sets of instructions. I don't know which ones I'm supposed to follow. Maybe I'll pick and choose from each of them, whatever the best option is. And that's really the kind of week it is, you know. It's your best option. And I'm going to suggest your authority figures are a little stressed and they're not paying attention. So if they give you conflicting information, because they're having all these aspects to Saturn, or you as the authority are having some trouble making decisions, kind of sit down and go, okay, let me just map out what I got going on here. Because there's so many swirling things, not fighting with each other, but at competing interests. That's maybe the best way to say it. Competitive interests. So back when I was younger, I worked at Control Data, and they would promote us as salespeople to work for the area manager, the regional manager. And, you know, salespeople are type A, you know, we're out there knocking on the doors, getting the deals and winning and throwing it up on the board and saying, yeah, I close this, right? Good use for competitive folk. But they would go work for this guy, his name was Chad Schneller, and he would just pile crap on their desk, just piles of stuff, put piles and piles. And he would come in and he'd drop another thing. And they would have these huge piles and they'd just be watching this stuff grow. And, of course, there was no way they could get it done, even if they worked 24 hours a day. There was no way to get all the work done. And, you know, it'd be, you know, and there are also people that don't generally ask for help because we can do it ourselves. And they would, you know, he would watch them and he would kind of chuckle, you know, because he would pile all this stuff up until one of them or two of them or they would eventually go, you know, I can't do this, man. It's like this is all due the same day and there's no way I can physically do it. And then he would prioritize it for them. You might need external priority. And of course, then the secret was you didn't tell the new person getting the job that that was the trick, that you had to go to Chad and say, what are the priorities of these here? You know, it was kind of hazing of a form, I guess, you know, torture your replacement. But understanding that that hazing has an energy to it, you know, because what it does is it helps us. So when we were hearing about Judge Gorsuch getting his new appointment, one of the things they said, well, he's in charge of the cafeteria, and he's the guy that has to answer the door when somebody knocks because he's the newest, which is a form of hazing, you know, and it's nice to know the Supreme Court's judges haze each other. So Venus this week goes from 26 to 27, Pisces, because she's moving forward, and she's sextiling Mars, which gives her a lot of oosh. She's having a big old fight on the 18th because she's contraparallel Eris, and there's a big argument with the feminine on the 18th, so just kind of watch for women fighting in the news. There's a wound happening on the 19th, and then, of course, the square to Saturn takes place on the 21st. And also, just a shout-out before we get towards the end of the show, and I forget to do it, I'm going to be in Colorado this week. I'm going to be speaking at ROMA, R-O-M-A, the Rocky Mountain Astrology Group. I'm going to be speaking there on Thursday. And then today is the last day to enroll. Although if you're really nice to Kim, she might let you in tomorrow. I'm doing a weekend workshop on Saturday called Mapping Your Life, which is really, really cool and very great fun. And you basically map your life on this big sheet of paper, and it's very fun. And you kind of go, wow, there's my life laid out before me. It's a very fun workshop. So we've got a bunch of people signed up, and it's not too late. Today, tomorrow. Tomorrow's my cutoff with Kim, so you can beg, borrow, and steal and get in. But definitely ROMA, Rocky Mountain Astrologers Group, this weekend. And then in 2 weeks, I'm going to be at the Great Lake Astrologies Conference. And I'm also proctoring on Thursday morning, bright and early, an NCGR certification exam. So if you've been thinking about getting certified and you've kind of been circling the wagons on this, contact Shirley Sofer because you've got to register for that ahead of time. It's not a walk-in. And I'll proctor your test, and you can sit to become a certified level 1, level 2, or level 3 NCGR astrologer. So those are your opportunities. Plus, I'll be speaking at the Great Lake Astrology Conference, and that's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Okay, next up, Mars. He's going from 26 Taurus and into Gemini, and he moves into Gemini on the 21st, bright and early in the morning. Before he does that, he ends a story as he meets up with Admetos. So he's going to finish something up on the 20th. There's a permanent ending. And I always don't like that aspect, Mars Admetos, because you really run into, you know, that's like really done. It's done. You just, there's no redemption. There's no negotiation. So there's a situation in your life that's going to finish up this week. It finishes up in all of our lives. And it can just be a psychological, you're just like, I'm not doing that anymore. Mars is also in conjunct to Saturn this week, which gives him a little bit of stress. And the shape of the in conjunct is a Virgo, so there can be some health issues on the 17th, which you want to pay attention to. And then, of course, he enters Gemini, and then he has a square to the nodes of fate on the 23rd, which means he's got some choices. Now, the nodes of fate are at the very, 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 very last degrees of Pisces and Virgo. They're about to shift into Aries Aquarius, ending a year and a half journey in Pisces and Virgo. When that happens, there's kind of a big think of it as a wave, rolls through the world. So watch for that. We're going to start feeling that next week, but it'll maybe show up a little bit this week. And then Jupiter is at 17 to 1622. It has a little bit of stress with the nodes of fate on the 21st in terms of how it wants to relate. Saturn is in conjunct Ceres, saying there's a nurturing principle that you want to change on the 23rd. And then Pluto, of course, stations on the 20th at 8:48 in the morning, which is all about power dynamics shifting and changing as he stops and changes. Of course, Pluto in our T-square is Donald, so we can expect some big news around him on the 20th. And then, of course, whatever the power dynamic is in your chart or whatever's been going on in that Capricorn house of yours, structural change in the dynamics and the direction of your life. A lot of health aspects on the 16th and 17th, so if you're sick, do not delay. Go to the doctor. And last but not least, Chiron is contraparallel Eris on the 23rd. That's a degree of enormous frustration. So you may find yourself very frustrated and going, rah, 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 rah. Steve wrote me and said, how come Hitler's so much in the news with the gas chambers and Sean Spicer? You know, what happens is charts remain active for many, many years after they pass. And so Hitler's chart was active this week. So watch what you come into, what energy wakes up, who the old person is you're thinking about, because it is Venus retrograde and Mercury retrograde, and Jupiter and Pluto stationing. So you may run into, like, old loves or old ghosts. Make sure to talk to them. They're there to illuminate. Take care. It's Ann Ortley signing off from the Weekly Weather, wishing you a great Weekly Weather. And next week, because I'm flying, the show will be at a slightly different time, probably early in the morning from Colorado. But it will be broadcast, so I'll talk to you all then. Take care. Bye-bye.